Hi, this is Deborah Wong with more on the Seattle City Council races. There are four incumbents running for re-election to the City Council, but voters only have to make a choice in two of those races during this primary election. There are two races that have three candidates running. Only two of them can advance beyond the primary to the general election. In City Council position number two, longtime incumbent Richard Conlin is being challenged by Socialist Alternative Party candidate Kshama Sawant and Amazon manager Brian Carver. We spoke with Richard Conlin about why he's running for re-election.
I'm really passionate about the things that I do on the council. You know, there's lots of exciting things that happen in Seattle, and I realize that I've got the experience to be able to say I know something about how to make things work, and I know about some of the things that really don't work, and I also have lots of ideas and lots of thoughts that I have about how to make Seattle a better place.
Okay, looking back on the last 4 years, what are you most proud of?
I provided a lot of stability for the council. I was really honored to have my colleagues select me to be council president, not just once, as is usually the case, but for a second term as well. And I had to take the council through a time when we were facing the recession, when we had a new mayor coming in, when we had major, major decisions on transportation investments, huge transportation projects that we had to decide. I carried the council through that. I provided the steady voice, the voice that was able to help us come together around making good decisions.
When the mayor came in, there was a lot of tension between the council and the mayor about the tunnel, which we've sort of, seems like ancient history by now.
It does.
But can you just talk about that time and what the relationship with the mayor was like?
It was very difficult. You probably remember there was one incident where the mayor's office declined to sign the draft environmental impact statement, which was really a routine thing that they should have done, but which would have thrown the whole process into a tizzy and to cause delays. And I had to step up and do it, and there was a lot of friction and tension between that, but ultimately it turned out, yeah, I was absolutely right legally, and I was right politically to do that. And eventually we were able to work our way through that. And I really feel like we've got a much better working relationship now.
Okay. Where do you see yourself falling on the political spectrum? Because the two folks who are challenging you both see themselves as to your left. Do you accept that characterization?
I don't know that I do. I'm not sure that left and right mean a huge amount when you're talking about city council. Everybody on the council is basically from the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, and I don't think any of us have any hesitation in really saying that. I actually consider myself to be very progressive, almost radical in my approach to things, because the fact is I want to get things done that actually help people. And I'm not willing to just sit back and listen to, say, do something that sounds right. I want to make sure it actually makes a difference in people's lives. So I look at issues and I say, hey, this sounds like everybody would like it, but, you know, I don't think it's really going to work, or I don't think it's really going to make a difference in people's lives. And I'm willing to step back and say, let's rework it and figuring out how to make it happen. And that kind of evidence-based, outcome-based approach, I think, is a fairly radical approach, and I think it's the way in which we ought to be running things as a council, and I think it's the way in which the city works best.
So one of the things that both of your opponents have criticized you on is your vote against paid sick leave. You were the only council member to vote no on the paid sick leave ordinance. They both say that was the wrong vote. What's your response to that?
Well, that's a classic illustration of the situation. Of course, I support paid sick leave for all employees. I think everybody should have the opportunity and the right to have that. But this particular piece of legislation, we had the opportunity to make much better. It had a number of serious flaws, and those flaws are what have brought it into us into conflict. The legislature has threatened to take away our right to have paid sick leave. There are 60,000 people who aren't covered that we could have had covered. There are some excessive paperwork and bureaucratic requirements that have really caused problems for some people who would like to have had sick leave, but who actually are not getting the kind of things that they should have had if we had done the ordinance properly. And no disrespect to my colleagues, but there was a model that Connecticut and D.C. had that was much simpler, easier, very, very workable. We could have done that, and I think we would have had a much better program.
You were not able to persuade others, though, that your approach was better.
We went through a long discussion and debate on that. I think there was actually some members of the council who probably would have thought my approach was better, but eventually I was the only one who was willing to stand up and say, you know what, we really need to say no on this one. And, of course, if I had had to be providing the fifth vote, I would have done that because I believe in paid sick leave. But of course, if I'd been providing the fifth vote, it probably would have looked a lot more like what I wanted.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about South Lake Union, and the whole area has gone through this giant rezone that the city council approved. In a lot of the more contentious issues, for example, affordable housing, the height of the towers that Vulcan wanted to build at the south end of the lake, you did come down more in favor of the views of the development community in a couple of those instances. And I wonder if you see yourself as more, perhaps more sensitive or more empathetic with the views of what developers wanted to do there than your colleagues, for example.
Well, we made a decision 7 years ago that South Lake Union was going to be an urban center. An urban center is designed to have a large number of jobs and a large number of housing units. That's what we were trying to accomplish. And ultimately, the council came down basically with a proposal that was pretty much what the South Lake Union community came out with. It's important to remember, this is a neighborhood plan. It's not something the developers put together. It was put together by all the people in South Lake Union through a multi-year process. So I supported the efforts of the South Lake Union community to realize the vision that they had for their urban center. I don't think it was an issue of being, quote, for development or, quote, not for development. It was an issue of, let's recognize that we need jobs and housing for our people, and let's find the best way in which to do that.
And so how would you then characterize the debate that happened once the legislation was presented to the council? Do you think it was the process was being hijacked by folks on the outside who wanted more amenities, who wanted developers to pay more, that sort of thing?
Well, we got a lot of amenities and we got a lot of benefits from the development community. We worked it out very well on that. And the council ultimately came to a great consensus, and we had a 9-0 vote. And it was very much like the original proposal that came before the council. The principal discussion we had was, at what point are you ready to make a change in a very abstruse question, which is how much developers would have to pay in order to support affordable housing? We didn't, I felt, have as good data as we would like to have in order to do that. There were a lot of numbers that were floating around that I didn't think were backed very well. And generally, I wanted to do a more deliberative process in order to make a change in that. We ultimately wound up with a compromise, which all the council members were able to embrace that. But the goal was never in question. We want to have affordable housing. We want to have as much affordable housing as possible. And the outcome of that debate is really not in question. No matter which number we chose, it's only a small percentage of the affordable housing that we really want to have that's going to be able to be derived from that particular benefit.
Shama Sawant has said that you are in the pocket of developers, that you're serving the interests of big businesses. What's your response to that?
Well, I represent all of the people of this city. You know, every day when I go to my office, I pass a mural of Martin Luther King at Cherry and MLK. And that mural says, darkness is not cast out by darkness, it's cast out by light. And hate is not ended by hate, hate can only be ended by love. I try to live by that principle, that we find ways in which to work together. This is a city in which all of us have a role and all of us have a part to play. And my job is to listen to everybody, to find out ways in which we can make it work better, and to recognize that all of us are important parts of this community.
Okay. And have you taken a position on public financing of campaigns?
Yes, I support public financing of campaigns. I think it probably is not going to have as big an impact as some of its supporters hope, but I think it's a good step in the right direction.
Looking at your own campaign finance reports, you do get a lot of money from employees of developers and folks in the development community. How should we interpret that? I mean, is that something that you feel fully comfortable doing?
Well, I have almost 1,000 contributors to my campaign. They come from all over the city. They come from neighborhood groups, environmental organizations, labor organizations, and the business community. I'm proud of being able to represent all of those people. People give me contributions because they know that I think about things and I try to come up with reasonable solutions. They don't expect me to agree with them on 100% of issues, and I never will. So I will. I'm very proud of being able to represent that multiple constituencies in this city.
Talking about the last 4 years, I think you gave the example of leading the council at a difficult time. Is there anything that you see in the last 4 years in terms of specific legislation that you're particularly proud of?
Oh, well, there's a lot of things that I've accomplished in the last 4 years. One of the things that I was most proud of was the library levy, which we put on the ballot last year. And what that did is not only restored all of the services the library had lost during the recession, but actually expanded them and created what I think is going to be a model for libraries for the 21st century. That's a pretty extraordinary achievement for us to be able to do. On land use, I've been able to move a number of pieces of land use legislation that have been extremely important to us, not just the South Lake Union rezone, but there have been rezones in the Greenwood neighborhood, in the areas around our light rail stations, where we're actually going to be developing more transit-oriented development. And in my role on the Sound Transit Board, I played a key role in making sure that we were able to complete the line to the east side. I was one of the negotiators with the city of Bellevue that was able to come to an agreement with them to allow light rail to actually go through Bellevue. And I've worked to get the light rail to Northgate. And one of the things I was most proud of is I was able to get Sound Transit to agree to provide some funding for a pedestrian bicycle bridge across I-5 at Northgate that's going to provide great access to that station from the west side of I-5. Lots and lots of things like that that I've been able to accomplish, and I could go on through the list for a long time.
Is the notion of greater density in the city, is that become pretty well accepted? Is that the consensus now that we have to do this? Where are we in the debate over density in the city?
We have two things happening in this city. Number one, we are prospering. Our economy is going well, and people are flocking to Seattle because it is such a great place to live in. We have to accommodate the housing and jobs that those people are looking for. And our children and grandchildren are going to need that housing and jobs as well. Secondly, we're implementing growth management. The Growth Management Act calls on us to continue to be a great urban center so that we can protect our farms and our forests and our wilderness areas from the development that otherwise would take place under sprawl. So that also calls on us to continue to develop carefully and thoughtfully as an urban center. What we need to do is to provide that housing and that employment while at the same time making sure that we keep our transportation system working, that we provide the parks, the community centers, the other amenities that make communities livable. And we can do that. It's going to take some tough decisions at times, but it also is going to make some really good decisions at times that everybody's going to wind up looking back at and saying, you know what, that works and that actually makes sense. Our job is to find out what decisions there are that will actually have that result in the long term.
Is there such a thing, though, as too much development, as too dense, as, you know, too much growth in the city? When do you reach that level, or do you?
Well, I don't think we're anywhere near that kind of a level. I mean, I suppose you could, almost anything could be, ultimately you could reach the too much of, but we're nowhere near that level. This is a city that accommodates growth very well, and we have lots of opportunities for doing it. South Lake Union was a great example of that. We expect to get about 12,000 housing units and 15,000 or more jobs in that area, and that's a relatively small part of the city. There are many other parts of the city in which we do have lots of opportunities, particularly where we have new transit stations coming in around light rail.
Okay. So looking forward to the next 4 years, what is at the top of your agenda for the next 4 years?
Making sure that we continue with that mission of really finding ways in which to provide that housing and jobs for people while we create great urban communities, making sure that transit continues to be available to people and that we have the right kinds of housing that can serve the multiple numbers and types of people who want to live in Seattle. Keeping our park system up, that's one of the things that did suffer very much in the recession, and we need to increase the maintenance of our park system, and making sure that our transportation investments really make sense and pay off. We'll be moving to the final stages on 520, on the replacement of the Alaskan Way Viaduct, and on completing our light rail system. Those are going to be very important projects that we need to complete. And as always, I've got a long list of other things in each neighborhood that I'd like to do. And I love working with neighborhoods and making it possible for people to realize the visions that they have.
That was Seattle City Councilmember Richard Conlon, who's running for re-election to position 2 on the Seattle City Council. We have interviews with his challengers and with candidates for position 8 on our website, kuow.org. For 94.9 KUOW, I'm Deborah Wong.